శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 18 మోక్ష సన్యాస యోగ. సో ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ వీ సా దట్ అర్జున వాంటెడ్ టు నో ద డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ సన్యాస అండ్ త్యాగ. అండ్ ఫస్ట్ కృష్ణ గేవ్ ద ఆన్సర్ బై గివింగ్ ద ఒపీనియన్ ఆఫ్ అదర్ సేజెస్. దెన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఫోర్త్ శ్లోక కృష్ణ బిగాన్ టు గివ్ హిస్ ఆన్సర్. సో అకార్డింగ్ టు కృష్ణ, sanyasa and tyaga are not different, only two different words for one and the same renunciation only. Then the question comes whether the renunciation is total karma sanyasa or whether it is partial karma sanyasa. So according to Krishna, total karma sanyasa is not meant because the fundamental duties of a grahastha, which are yajna, dhanam and tapaha, that should never be renounced. So in shlokas 5 and 6, Krishna glorified the three duties, yajnam, dhanam, tapas. And then from the 7th shloka onwards, Krishna talks about three types of sannyasa. And he said the renunciation of the fundamental duties that come under the tamasa sannyasa. So here also we say one renounces the duties, you know, due to two reasons. One, not knowing the value of or glory of duty out of ignorance. That is one way to renounce. Because duties do not give any tangible or material benefit and not even reciprocated by others. When I do my duty, many people don't even reciprocate that. Often we have to even suffer for doing one's duty. So one thinks that duty is useless or even harmful if it is performed. And out of this ignorance and also saying that we have to go with the current, you know, go with the flow. In Kali Yuga, one should not talk about duty and all those things. So not knowing the importance of duty, they renounce. Such a renunciation out of ignorance is called tamasa tyagaha. And then Krishna said, the renunciation can be due to another reason also. Here the person knows the value of duty and it may not give material benefit to him, but it may add to my spiritual samskara. Even if I may suffer for doing my duty. So I may even look like a fool in the eyes of other people. They may not even acknowledge my doing the duty. Still, I should not bother because duty purifies me. So even if he knows this, still he does not do because of physical strain and mental strain. So worried about bodily discomfort and mental tension, this person, he shirks his duty. And here the problem is one of attachment to the body, that is dehe ragaha. Or even it may be attachment to money, which, you know, why spend this much money in this and that for all these rituals? So renounce them. This is called rajasatyagaha. So tamasatyagaha and rajasatyagaha. Now Krishna talks about sattvikatyagaha, which is going to be given in the next shloka, shloka 9. We'll read. Shloka 9. కార్యమిత్యేవ యత్ కర్మ నియతం క్రియతే అర్జున సంగం త్యక్త్వా ఫలం చైవ సత్యాగ సాత్వికో మతః. వాట్ ఈస్ ద సాత్విక త్యాగ ఆర్ సాత్విక సన్యాస? కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇన్ సాత్విక సన్యాస డ్యూటీస్ ఆర్ నాట్ రినౌన్స్డ్ అట్ ఆల్. దెన్ నియతం కర్మ క్రియతే, ద డ్యూటీస్ ఆర్ పెర్ఫార్మ్డ్. Here the duties refer to, what are the duties? Nitya Naimittika Karmas in general. And in particular, Krishna has talked about the three, Yajna, Dana and Tapas. So, Niyatam Karma, that means Yajna, Dana, Tapak Karma, Kriyate. It is done and not at all renounced. That means this person knows the value of Yajna, Dana and Tapas. And what is the value? Krishna has said, Pavanani Manishinam, earlier, they are all Pavanam, purifiers. And with what attitude he does these duties? Karyam ityeva, ityeva. There is no question of should I do it, should I not do it, will I do it, whether the others need it, none of those. We generally have several considerations before we do anything. Whether they are doing, etc. All these are not considered at all because duty is not conditional. That is why it is called duty. It is unconditional. That is why Krishna says as karyam, it has to be done. Karyam iti, that is there. So iti is put in quotation. So which indicates the thought of the person. This is my duty. That's what he says. One has to think like that and do. And how to think? As karyam. It has to be done. There is no choice. And why it has to be done? Because it is Ishvara Vidhi, the commandment of the Lord. The Lord, for the sake of universal harmony, for my individual peace also. It is like eating. Sometimes we think eating is troublesome thing. When we have some important work, we think eating is even a burden. But when we can never have the attitude, because eating is very necessary for survival. Similarly, excretion also is essential. Harmony is possible only when there is a cycle. Pushing involves pushing in, involves pushing out also. But we can look at particular situation, we may have silly and funny thinking, that is possible. We want to get the benefit from the world. And every moment of our life is because of somebody doing some job or the other, right from drinking coffee in the morning. If I am wearing this dress, someone has to work for it. Or someone has worked on it to make it. If I am drinking coffee also. So every moment I am living in borrowed things. That means I have to repay it till my last breath. So, and this general repayment is called yajna, thanksgiving to the original donor, namely the God. So danam to the local donors, and tapaha means avoiding overindulgence. This is Ishvara Vidhi for harmony. So karyam ityeva yat karma kriyate saha sattvika tyagaha. That is called sattvika tyaga. Okay, then we will wonder how we can call this a tyaga at all. Tyaga means leaving something. Here we are not leaving anything. We are only doing the action and not renouncing anything. Then how can we call it tyaga? Krishna says, no, here also tyaga is involved. Renunciation is involved. Renunciation of what? He says, sangam phalam cha tyaktva. By giving up sangam, attachment to the karma, sangam. So later he will say, certain duties will be pleasant, others will be unpleasant. All those one can say, no. We will find during welcome address of a meeting, it is my pleasant duty to welcome you all, people normally say. Means what? Certain other duties may not be pleasant. So once we begin to get raga towards a pleasant duty, we will certainly develop dvesha towards unpleasant duties. And therefore, there should not be raga or dvesha towards any duty. Therefore, sangam tyaktva. Never judge it is good or bad duty. Not only that, it will lead to comparison also. Because, you know, Brahmana Varna, certain duties are prescribed. For Kshatriya Varna, certain other duties are prescribed. If I begin to develop raga dvesha towards duty, what will happen? Brahmana will like to do Kshatriya's duties. And Kshatriyas may want to do Brahmana's dharma, as Arjuna is trying to do it now actually in the battlefield. Till now, he loved to be a Kshatriya. Traveled from place to place and even married so many girls. All okay, won so many battles. Brahmana, a Brahmana cannot do all that. He enjoyed his Kshatriyatvam, earned enough money, wealth, position, fame. Because it was all pleasant duties. But now Arjuna is facing what? Unpleasant duty of killing his own acharyas, his own kith and kin. So he says, Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan shreyo bhoktum baikshyamapi haloke. Baikshyamapi, begging, which is duty of another ashrama. One cannot, only a sannyasi can beg, you know, for his bhiksha he can take, but not him. So once you develop ragadvesha towards duty, society will be in a mess. Because the clerk will do manager's job, manager will do clerk's job. Everyone will try to do everybody else's duty. There will be Varna Sankaraha. We already see that. There will be Dharma Sankaraha. Means all this confusion, all that, you know, so many mixing up, they all will happen. Therefore, duty should never be judged or compared. Then there will be jealousy. There will be frustration. a housewife, you know, she will say her work is drudgery. And the man who constantly goes to office, he would like to stay home. She wants to go out and he wants to stay home. Therefore, avoid the attitude. Sangam tyaktva. Not only sangam, palam chaiva. Nor you should expect any palam out of it, out of duty. Because it is said, duties will give punyam. People say that. A kshatriya who dies in the battlefield will attain viraswarga. People say all that. Defending the nation. And one who performs his duty properly and die, he is supposed to go to Pitruloka. A special kind of swarga also. Thus, duties will give punya palam. But if we expect the palam, it will become a sakama karma. And therefore, Krishna says, don't expect punya palam for this duty. Don't expect social respect for doing your duty. Then how to do it? I have to do it, therefore I will do it. And that's it. So, palam chaiva tektva. Gratitude also is included in the palam. I do something to somebody, I expect that guy to be grateful to me. Our greatest problem is the complaint that the person does not have gratitude. I did so much, I gave so much, but he did not have gratitude. He should have gratitude, all right, but we should not expect and tell that. If he fails to be grateful, that is his problem. But I should not expect something and do it to him. Therefore, sangam phalam cha tyaktva, which finally boils down to a nishkama karma. And when that is done, satyagaha satviko mataha. Such a renunciation, satyagaha. Renunciation of what? Sangam palam tyagaha. So, sanga palatyagaha. Natu karma tyagaha, parantu karma palatyagaha, karma sangatyagascha. So, satvika tyagaha. That is called satvika tyagaha. And when we look at this shloka, what impression will I get? We find this is exactly what Krishna talked about in Karma Yoga. We already saw that in Karma Yoga chapter. What did he say in the third chapter of Karma Yoga? Niyatam kuru karmatvam karmajyayo hya karmanaha shariraya pichate prasidhyeta karmanaha. So yajnyartha atkarmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. He told all that thing in the third chapter and in the second chapter also. Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddha siddhyosamo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. So if we combine the second and third chapter, we find karma yoga is doing the duty. So karma yoga is offering to the Lord. Karma yoga is doing without sangha and pala iccha, without any of them. Then what is the difference between that and this? Krishna has only talked about karma yoga, but named it sattvika sannyasa here. So sattvika sannyasa is what? Is karma yoga. So some people like to call themselves as sannyasis. Then he will say, Krishna will say, fine. Likewise, Arjuna does not want to call himself karma yogi. He wants to call himself a sannyasi. That's fine. Okay, I will give you that name. You are a sattvika sannyasi. But to become a sattvika sannyasi, you should not get away from the battlefield. You have to fight, but give up the sangha and phala. Therefore, karma yoga of the third chapter and sattvika sannyasa of the 18th chapter are one and the same. And interestingly, if you remember the 9th chapter where Krishna talked about bhakti, what did he say there? Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhosi tadasiyate yat tapasyasi kaunteyam tat kurushva madarpanam. That's what he said. There also he says, whatever you are doing, offer them all to me. So what is the definition of bhakti in the 9th chapter? That is also the same. Offering one's duties to the Lord. Therefore, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, sattvika sannyasa, all are different names only for one and the same sadhana. And all of them have got uniform results. And what is the result? Preparation for Vedanta Shravanam. Purification, inner purity, Chitta Shuddhi. That Krishna wants to tell in the following shlokas. Shloka 10. Nadveshya kushalam karma kushalena nushajyate Tyagi sattva samavishtaha medhavi chinna samshayaha. So what is the prayojanam of karma yoga that is being said in this shloka? And in the first line, Krishna defines a karma yogi. Karma yogi akushalam akushalam karma nadveshti. Akushalam karma means unpleasant action. Akushalam, kushalam and akushalam. Normally akushalam means amangala, evil. Here it is unpleasant. We can call it unpleasant. So example, Arjuna's karma now in the battlefield to fight is unpleasant for him. So an unpleasant duty, but at the same time there is no choice also, because duty means karyam. In the previous shloka we already saw. So when unpleasant duty comes, what is the attitude of a karma yogi? Na dveshti, he does not hate, he does not curse the stars, does not blame the Lord for doing all that. Why should I be in this position? He does not talk of sannyasa. I feel like running away from home. No. But when other things are comfortable, they will not go. All these people will stay. But nice house, nice people, great children, good care, functions, all those things, wonderful life. So no sannyasa. But when people are busy with their own things, resources are limited, no one has time for him, I cannot do anything else. So why to live like this? Let me become a sannyasi. That's what a lot of people think. That is not the method. When at home, several situations will arise. Some of them may not be comfortable. We have to still do. That is the definition of life. Life is often doing things which we don't want to do. There is no question of escape. It has to be done. For a teacher also, there are situations like this. Some slokas are nice to explain. Some are very difficult to explain. We don't know whether they understood or not, whether it's been explained correctly to their understanding or not. We cannot make out looking at their face also in a webinar. Still, we have to do it. And what to do then? Nadveshti akushalam karma. Try to be as best as you can all the same time. So, kushale na anushajyate. With pleasant duty, he is not attached also. So in life, often one has to do what one does not want to do also, or not to do what one wants to do also. Then what to do? Do it. If it is a duty, without ragadvesha, just to do it. And how to do it and how to avoid it? If it is unpleasant, I will have dvesha. We can avoid only by understanding properly. We can have two methods. First method is simple. You take it as God's commandment. Just like the doctor gives me a pill, whatever, for a bitter pill, I have to still swallow it because it is for my good. Second method, if you have a mature mind, look at the totality. And we will know that all types of duties are there. If not me, someone else has to do it. So we see people standing under the hot sun and laying roads, burning tar in summer. They do it still. So if not me, somebody has to do it. Society requires all kinds of actions. Therefore, why should I hesitate? So looking at the totality, one can get over the feeling of frustration. That is what Krishna said in the third chapter. Look at the harmony. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anna sambhavaha yajnyat bhavati parjanyaha. If I have to eat the food, I have to till the land, cultivate. If not me, someone else has to do it. But our psychology is what? Let somebody only do it always. But imagine if everyone says that, what will happen? So this is the karma yogi. And as a result of this karma yoga, what will happen? Tyagi. This tyagi, sattvika sannyasi or sattvika tyagi, who is a karma yogi, who is none other than a bhakta, all are same as I told earlier. And who is tyagi and who is sattva samavishtaha, established in sattva guna, sattva samavishtaha. How do we know that? Because if he is established in tamas or rajas, he would have renounced the duties. He would not have done the duties. Saying that it is painful in Kali Yuga and it is not possible. The very fact that he is performing indicates that he is not a tamasic person. And the very fact that he does not have ragadvesha, that indicates that he is not a rajasic person also. The very fact he is na dveshti na anushajyate, that indicates he is not even rajasic. Not only that, he is looking at the duty as something to be performed. Understanding the value of duty indicates he has to have sattva guna. Sattva guna alone recognizes that life involves opposites, dvandva, pairs of opposites, both pleasant and unpleasant duties. And I should go beyond them by avoiding raga or attachment towards pleasant duties and dvesha or hatred towards unpleasant duties. And that is the reason Krishna said earlier, Traigunya Vishaya Vedaha, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvandvaha, Nitya Sattvastaha. Like, you know, it's always a mixture. Life is always a mixture of opposites. One should keep on going. How? Be a Nitya Sattvastaha. He is telling the same thing here. Sattva Samavishtaha. When we say go beyond Dvaita, you cannot run away from family. Accept them as inevitable and not murmuringly. I cannot just say, oh, what to do? Life is there. I have to still do it. No. Accept them as duties. Prasada or Ishvara Vidhi. Okay. Then what will happen? Soon he will become Medhavi. Medhavi means a Jnani. Medha has got so many meanings. In this context, it is called Jnana. Medha means memory also. Or Grahana Dharana Shakti. So, Samendro Medaya Asprunoto. So, grasping and retaining power. In this context, Medha does not mean either of them, but refers to Aham Brahmasmi Iti Jnana. The knowledge that I am. So, Medha says, Medha Asya Asti Iti Medhavi. We means one who possesses Medha. Medha vi, the V suffix. One who possesses Medha. Like Yashashvi, Tejasvi, Tapasvi. One who has yashas, tejas, tapas, all that. Then one should not think for a karma yogi, if he keeps continuing, slowly jnana will come. Because now a lot of people think that. No, I will keep on doing karma yoga, I will get jnana one day. In stages, karma yoga will purify my mind. He will then get interest in Vedanta. Before that, Vedanta will not be liked by him. One interest is there. Some guru or some guide will come. And then he will do Sravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Thus he will become a Medhavi. So we have to add to Karma Yoga, Chitta Shuddhi, Guru Prapti, Guru Prapti Dwarena, Medhavi Bhavati. By doing all that, he will become Medhavi. Thereafter, Chinna Samshayaha. He will become free from all doubts, Samshayas. So if you have to categorize it, so Shravana, Sravanena, Medhavi Bhavati, Shravana gives him knowledge. Mananena chinna samshayaha. Mananam, reflection, that removes all doubts. And what is the doubt? How can I be Purnam Brahma, liberated? How can I be Akarta, Abhokta? All the time I am doing action. How can I be Akarta? How I can be immortal? All the doubts regarding myself, the world, Ishvara, they all have to be gone. So doubts are centered on three topics normally. Whether I am finite or infinite regarding myself, whether the world is real or unreal regarding the world, whether Ishvara is Jagat Karanam or not regarding the Lord, these three doubts have to be clarified through Manana. Shloka 11.
Nahi deha bhrita shakyam tyaktum karmanya seshataha yastu karma palatyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyate.
In the previous shloka, Krishna said, Nitya Karmas should not be renounced or Nitya Karma, or the Nitya Karmas. In the seventh shloka, we already saw that, Niyatastutu Sanyasaha Karmano Nopapadyate Mohatasya Parityagaha Tamasaha Parikirtitaha. So, the fundamental duties or karmas should not be renounced. Here Krishna says, O Arjuna, not only they should not be renounced, they cannot be renounced also. They cannot be renounced. Why? Because he says, as long as we are alive, as long as we are part of the creation, some action or other will necessarily be there. Total renunciation of karma is not possible. So he says, Deha Bhrita Karmani Tyaktum Na Shakyam. By an embodied person, by a living being, karma cannot be renounced. Then Arjuna might argue, it is possible to renounce karma. I can give up the battlefield, the war and go away. That's what Arjuna will think. So Krishna says, you may renounce some karma, but you have to do some other karma. So he says, aseshataha త్యక్తుం న శక్యతే, యు కెనాట్ టోటలీ గివ్ అప్ అశేషతః. బికాస్ వెన్ యు గివ్ అప్ వన్ ఆశ్రమ, ద డ్యూటీస్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ఆశ్రమ విల్ నాట్ బైండ్ యూ. బ్రహ్మచర్య ఆశ్రమ కర్మ విల్ నాట్ బైండ్ యూ వెన్ యూ ఎంటర్ గృహస్థాశ్రమ. బట్ రిమెంబర్, గృహస్థాశ్రమ కర్మాస్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బి దేర్. సిమిలర్లీ, వెన్ ద గృహస్థాశ్రమ కర్మాస్ ఆర్ గివన్ అప్, అగైన్ భిక్షాం దేహి, భిక్షాకర్మ కమ్స్ అస్ సన్యాసి, హీ హాస్ టు గో టు డిఫరెంట్ ప్లేసెస్, గెట్ భిక్ష అండ్ ఈట్. సో రిమెంబర్, యూ బిలాంగ్ టు వన్ ఆశ్రమ ఆర్ ది అదర్, అండ్ ఎవ్రీ ఆశ్రమ హ్యాస్ గాట్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ డ్యూటీ. సో యూ కెన్ ఓన్లీ షిఫ్ట్ ద డ్యూటీస్, బట్ యూ కెనాట్ గివ్ ద డ్యూటీస్ అప్. Therefore, as long as one lives, one has to do karma. Suppose one says, you don't want to do any karma. It is also impossible because the body is doing a lot of job and energy is consumed. So even if you don't want to do work, still you breathe, blood circulates, digestion takes place, energy consumed, you will feel hungry after some time, eat, all that will happen. And you have to open the mouth and close it. So till you breathe your last, the action is even inevitable. Breathing also is an action. And so why do you try to renounce karma? He asks Arjuna. It is impossible. Then what should you renounce? Yastu karma palatyagi. The one who renounces the karma palam and also sangam, attachment towards pleasant duty, and includes actually dvesha towards unpleasant duty also here. So because we should remember, any ashrama is a mixture of pleasant and unpleasant duties. Even taking bhiksha, somebody is begging, somehow, you know, sometimes pleasant bhiksha, sometimes in some others, you know, not so pleasant. They will say, oh, every day this guy is coming, what, why should I give? So people use all kinds of abusive words. Therefore, one should avoid raga and dvesha towards pleasant and unpleasant duties. And one should not bother about the phalam also. Satya tyagi, satya karma phala tyagi, satyagi iti abhidiyate. Such a person is called a tyagi. What tyagi? Sattvika tyagi. Who is none other than a karma yogi or a bhakta. Shloka 12. Anishtam ishtam mishrancha త్రివిధం కర్మణ ఫలం భవత్యత్యాగినాం ప్రేత్య నతు సన్యాసినాం క్వచిత్. సో కృష్ణ సెడ్, ది నిత్య నైమిత్తిక కర్మ షుడ్ బి డన్ అండ్ సంగం అండ్ ఫలం షుడ్ బి రినౌన్స్డ్. సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఎ సాత్విక సన్యాసి ఆర్ అ కర్మయోగి. హియర్ కృష్ణ పాయింట్స్ అవుట్ వాట్ ఈస్ ది అడ్వాంటేజ్ ఫార్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఇఫ్ వన్ ఇస్ లైక్ దాట్, and what is the disadvantage for the other who is just a karmi and not a karma yogi. I have already explained all those terms earlier, that's why I'm just going ahead mentioning these terms only. And if a person is just a karmi and not a karma yogi, what is the disadvantage for him? In fact, this also we have seen actually in the second chapter, the difference between a karmi and a karma yogi. There Krishna said, neha vikramana shosti pratyavayo na vidyate స్వల్పమప్యస్య ధర్మస్య త్రాయతే మహతో భయాత్. కర్మ హ్యాస్ గాట్ యాక్చువల్లీ త్రీ ఫోల్డ్ రిజల్ట్స్, దట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ క్యాన్ బి సక్సెస్ఫుల్, ఇట్ మే నాట్ బి సక్సెస్ఫుల్, ఆర్ ఇట్ క్యాన్ బి కౌంటర్ ప్రొడక్టివ్. కౌంటర్ ప్రొడక్టివ్ ఇస్ ప్రత్యవాయ. ప్రత్యవాయ మీన్స్ దోష, పాప, దట్ ఆల్సో మే కమ్ బై డూయింగ్ ఎ కర్మ. ఇఫ్ ది ఎక్స్పెక్టెడ్ రిజల్ట్ కమ్స్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫైన్. ఇఫ్ ది ఎక్స్పెక్టెడ్ రిజల్ట్ డస్ నాట్ కమ్, దట్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ ఓకే. వీ లుక్ ఫర్ అ మెడిసిన్, వి ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ వీ టుక్ ఎ మెడిసిన్ దట్ disease was not cured, that's okay. Suppose we take a medicine, the disease was not cured, but the medicine caused some other serious side effect and another disease, it became counterproductive. These are all possible results of karma. Here Krishna says, a karmi will be affected by these results, but a karma yogi, the sattvika sannyasi, he will not be affected by any of these results. That is the essence of this shloka. So karmanaha palam trividham, the results of karma, karmanaha palam, are threefold, trividham. Anishtam, anishtam is undesirable, unwelcome result, maybe in the form of failure or in the form of a loss. And ishtam, ishtam means desirable or welcome result, one can get profit or the disease may be cured, that kind of thing. Then mishram cha, mixed result. From one angle it was good, from another angle it was not good. That is, so some children do well, some others don't. So will one be happy or unhappy? Thinking of one child, he is happy. Thinking of another child, he is unhappy. Therefore, mixture. So we can extend it at the adrishta level also. This is at the drishta level, visible level. At the invisible level, anishtam can be taken as papa palam, getting papa. And ishtam can be taken as punya palam. So mishram can be taken as punya and papa together. Okay. And whom do the results affect? Krishna says, atyaginam bhavati. These results come to only the atyagis, those who are not karma yogis or sattvika sannyasis. Sattvika sannyasi is tyagi. This is atyagi. That means what? Those who do not renounce sangam and palam, as was discussed in the previous lokas. Those who do sakama karma, not nishkama karma, but sakama karma. So for the sakama karmis alone, these three results will come. And therefore, in life also, they go through elation and depression. It's cyclical. One day, they are on top of the world. The next day, they are extremely depressed. Their life becomes like a boat in the ocean, always, you know, going this way, that way. Thrashed life, you know, left and right. Extreme elations and depressions are not good for the life and the body. And so, they go through violent reactions. Whereas Krishna says, sannyasinam na kvachite. Whereas these results, they do not come to a sannyasi at all. That is, a sattvika sannyasi or a karma yogi here. They are not affected by these results. Because, as we have seen before, siddha siddhyo samo bhutvam samatvam yoga uchyate. They have got this samatva buddhi. They accept both the results with equanimity. But Shankaracharya, he makes a small, you know, difference in the interpretation here. Because there is a word, Pretya. Pretya means marana anantaram, after death. Pretya means marana anantaram, after death. So these three types of results, they do not affect him after death. Pretya, that is said. So that seems to be talking about a jnani. Because we say karma yogi is not affected while living, these results do not affect. But remember, as far as a karma yogi is concerned, he is not going to get liberation. He will not get liberation at all because he is still a karma yogi. After maranam, he is going to be affected still by sanchita karma, anishtam, ishtam, mishram. They will all bind him. But here Krishna says, karma palam will not affect him after death, pretya. And therefore Shankara takes here the sannyasi as jnani. So two interpretations are possible. One is sannyasi is taken as karma yogi, in which case we can say he is not affected by the karma palam in this life. Then what should we say? This karma yogi, this sattvika sannyasi becomes a real sannyasi later. That is a vidvat sannyasi later, a jnani later, like two stages. First sattvika sannyasi, thereafter not affected by karma palam. Then thereafterwards he becomes a jnani who is a vidvat sannyasi. And when he becomes a vidvat sannyasi and dies, after death, the karma palam will not come to him at all. Whether it is sanchita karma or agami karma, prarabdha karma, none of them are going to affect him. All because of the word pretya. Shloka 13. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani nibodhame sankhe krithante proktani siddhaye sarva karmanam. So with the 12th shloka, previous shloka, the sannyasa topic is over. All three types of sannyasa, tamasa sannyasi, raja sannyasi and sattvika sannyasi. In fact, Arjuna's question is answered. And the central teaching here is what? That sannyasa and tyaga are one and the same. And sannyasa and tyaga do not involve renunciation of duty. Duty must be done renouncing sangam and phalam. That is called sattvika sannyasa or karma yoga. So we can say that up to 12th shloka, Krishna has talked about karma yoga only in the name of sattvika sannyasa. So this portion is the summary of the third chapter of Gita. Now we already mentioned the entire 18th chapter is only a summary of the entire Gita taught from chapter 2 to 16, 17. And if you have doubt in this portion, we are supposed to go back to third chapter and refer to that because it's only summary of that. Because as was said earlier, 18th chapter is not teaching is not a teaching chapter at all. It is only a summary chapter. So whatever we have learned before, Krishna is only summarizing here. Karma Yoga, we have learned elaborately in third chapter, which summed up the 12th shloka in the name of Satvika Sannyasa. Now from this 13th shloka onwards, we get the summary of Jnana Yoga contained in the 4th, 5th, 6th chapters. In this shloka, Krishna introduces that Arjuna, every action involves 5 factors. So, pancha etani karanani. Karanam means factors or accessories. 5 factors. What are those? Which will be mentioned actually in this shloka. These 5 factors are necessary for what? Sarva karmanam siddhaye, for the accomplishment of all actions. Sarva karmanam siddhi. Siddhi here means accomplishment, performance or execution. So the following 5 factors are necessary for the accomplishment of all factors, all actions. May nibodha, may you know that from me. Then Arjuna will wonder, how did Krishna know? So Krishna says, I got this again from Vedanta only. Sankhye Kritante Proktani. These 5 factors have been enumerated in the Sankhya. Sankhya here means Vedanta. We have seen before that the word Sankhya should be very carefully understood. The second chapter is called Sankhya Yoga. There is one philosophy called the Sankhya philosophy also, which is supposed to have been given out by a Kapila Muni, Kapila Vasudeva. He gave. We are not talking about that here. Vedanta Darshanam also is called the Sankhya. So here, Sankhya means what? Vedanta. There are many differences between the Sankhya philosophy and Vedanta. Sankhya and Vedanta, what are the differences? For the Sankhyas, the world is real. Vedanta, world is unreal, mithya. For Sankhyas, Atmas are many. Whereas for Vedantins, Atma is only one. For Sankhyas, Atma is Akarta but Bhokta. Whereas Vedanta says Atma is Akarta and Bhokta. And Sankhyan says matter alone is the ultimate cause for everything. Whereas Vedantins say Brahman is the ultimate cause for everything. Therefore, there are a lot of differences between Kapila Muni's Sankhya philosophy and Vedantic teaching. But we do borrow some ideas from the Sankhya philosophy, whichever is not controversial to Vedanta. Contradicting Vedanta, we take them. So the second chapter is called the Sankhya Yoga. That means only Vedanta. Here also, Sankhya Kritante Proktani. These 5 are mentioned in Vedanta, in the Upanishads. And where is Vedanta? Kritante. Kritam means karma here. Ante means at the end of karma. So Kritante means karmante, at the end of all karmas, all rituals. So the idea is what? The entire Veda is divided into 2 portions. One is called the Karmakanda, the ritualistic portion. And the second is called Vedanta, no rituals, but only Jnana. We have seen all this earlier. That's why I'm going fast. Since Vedanta comes under all rituals are over, we say it as Karmaanta, at the end of all karmas. After completing all rituals, Vedanta begins. So called Kritante. So in simple terms, we can say after Karmakanda. So these 5 are mentioned in the Vedanta, which come under the Karmakanda of the Vedas. These 5 I will enumerate here. May you know from me, O Arjuna. That's what he says. And what are those 5? Here, let us see in the next shloka. Shloka 14. Adhishtanam tata kartha karanancha pratagvidham vividhascha pratakcheshtaha daivam chaivatra panchamam. What are the 5 factors? In short, they are the 4 koshas, the sheets. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha. People who are attending the Viveka Chudamani lectures, they would have heard all these terms very familiarly. And we also covered them in detail in Tattva Bodha. So these are the first four factors. And the 5th factor is daivam, Ishvara. So annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya koshas are the 4 factors. And the 5th factor is daivam factor, Ishvara. But here Krishna presents them in a different language. He says adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the support or basis, remaining in which alone all actions are done. Because remember, a jiva wants to do all actions in the world and wants to reap the results also. Both of them, the jiva can do only after entering in a physical body. With Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram alone, nothing can be done. One needs to have a gross body. Therefore, the first job of a jiva is to enter a physical body or to assume a physical body. That is why if you want to serve the family or for that matter anyone, only as long as the body is, we can help. When the gross body goes away and becomes a pretam, body is gone, then one is in the sukshma shariram, karana shariram with the chaitanyam. He is very much a jiva with his individuality, but that jiva cannot do anything to the family or for anybody. If the jiva has to do something, it requires an adhishtanam. And what is that adhishtanam? Sharira, body. And this adhishtanam is necessary for doing action and also for reaping the results of the action also. So karma also requires adhishtanam, and the bhoga, the enjoyment, that also requires the body. That is why in Tattva Bodham, the sthula shariram, grass body, was defined as what? Panchikritam panchamahabhutani bhutai panchamahabhutaihi kritam satkarma janyam sukha dukkhadi bhoga ayatanam. Ayatanam means adhishtanam. So then what is the difference between Tattva Bodha and this shloka then? The difference is in Tattva Bodha, it is bhoga adhishtanam, whereas in this shloka, it is karma adhishtanam. That is the only difference. So the first basic requirement is the body. Remaining in the body only, the jiva can transact, can do any action. This is called the annamaya koshaha, the grass body. Then what is the next factor? Then we'll come to the second line. Vividaha prithak cheshtaha. This refers to the pancha pranas. Cheshtaha means physiological functions. The respiratory function, excretory function, circulatory function, digestive function, reversing function. So we have seen all those also earlier. Vividaha. Vividaha means manifold. Because prana functions in fivefold ways. So prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. So vividaha. And prithak. Each one is distinct also. So any activity requires the pancha pranas. The prana shakti is required. And this is called pranamaya kosha. That is why if you find that you have not eaten some for some days, then you find that activities are all gone. Why? Because the prana shakti is not developed. So there is no digestion, no excretion, everything has become weak. Only when all of them are powerful, activities are possible. So karmendriyas can function only when prana shakti is stronger, which we call it as energy. Then what is the third factor? Prithak vidam karanam. Different varieties of instruments. What are they? Karana means instruments. Pancha karmendriyani, the five organs of action, instruments of action. And they all come under pranamaya kosha only, the instruments of action also. Pancha jnanendriyani, five sense organ, instruments of perception. These are bahya karanani, external instruments. The antakaranam, the internal instrument called mind, manaha, buddhi, chittam, all those. They should have. You should leave ahankara here, which will come later. We will see that. So manaha is instrument of emotion. Buddhi is instrument of judgment. And chittam is instrument of memory. So they all come under manomaya kosha. So all these are functioning when you are sitting in the class itself. So these factors are over. What is the three factors are over? And what is the fourth factor? Kartha. Kartha is vijnanamaya kosha. Ahankaraha. One who says, I am the doer. That means what? The one who identifies and coordinates all these instruments, he is called, it's called Vijnanamaya Kosha. That is why in Taittiriya Upanishad, Vijnanam, Vijnanam, Yajnam Tanute, Karmani Tanute Picha. Vijnanamaya Kosha alone as a karta does all the Laukika karmas as well as Yajnas, Shastriya karmas, all of them. Ahankaraha. And he alone later becomes a bhokta also. That is understood. The karta eva bhokta bhavati. That is what then what is the final factor? The four factors are over. The fifth factor is atra panchamam daivam. The fifth factor here is daivam, Ishwara, the Lord. What is the role of the Lord? Remember, all the functions take place according to the laws of creation. Eyes alone are not enough. They function according to certain laws as we study in school. The light comes from the source, it hits the retina, images are formed, all these are according to certain laws. So is hearing. That is why we cannot see with ears and hear with the eyes. Each one functions based on certain roles. We can do only what is possible. And who decides what is possible and what is not possible? The Lord has already decided by prescribing certain universal laws. In the mango seed, the Lord has kept the potency of the mango seed. And we can tap only that. We cannot grow a coconut tree out of a mango seed. So all actions take place strictly according to the potential possibility of creation. Determined by whom? By the laws, by the Lord, the laws of creation. And the Lord is the law giver and law maintainer. So Krishna says, the Lord, the Karma Pala Dhata, Karma Adhyakshaha. Actually, in the 8th chapter, he was called as Adiyajnaha. Adibhutam Kharo Bhavaha. Adiyajnohamevatra. So that's what he said. So this is called Adiyajnam, Devam or Ishvara. So in this, we have left out which kosha then? Four koshas, Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, four koshas we talked about, but we left out the Anandamaya kosha. It is left because if you go in Anandamaya kosha, what activity takes place? Anandamaya kosha leads to sleep. Anandamaya kosha being the Karana Shariram being Sushupti, it does not support any external activity at all. It is suppressed. All external activity, and therefore Anandamaya kosha is not included here. So this is one interpretation, and there is another interpretation also. This is based on the Mandukya Upanishad. There the Anandamaya at the total level, at the samashti level, was equated to Ishvara. Anandamaya at the total level was equated to Ishvara. The fifth mantra in Mandukya Upanishad, it gives the Anandamaya kosha that says, Yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate na kanchana swapnam pasyati tat sushuptam sushuptasthana eki bhutaha prajanagana evam anandamayo yanandabhukim cheto mukaha prajnas tritiyaha padaha. So that is what I'm just only at this shloka for the sake of our completion. So that state of deep sleep, where the sleeper does not desire any enjoyable thing at all, does not see any dream also. So the third quarter is the prajna, who has deep sleep and in whom everything becomes undifferentiated for that person, that great sleeper, who is a mass of mere consciousness, who abounds in bliss, in great ananda, who is surely the enjoyer of all ananda, and who is the doorway to the experience of the dream and the waking states. So that's such a person. So he is in deep sleep, he is the enjoyer of all ananda. So the fifth mantra, Anandamaya Kosha, was mentioned, and in the sixth mantra, it was said, Yesha Sarveshwaraha, Yesha Sarvajnaha, Yeshontaryami. It's all Mandukya Upanishad. So Anandamaya at the samashti level was called Ishwaraha. So Yesha Sarveshwaraha. Such a person is Sarveshwaraha, Sarvajnaha, Antaryami. So here Devam means this Anandamaya at the samashti total level. So Ishwara. So Anandamaya is not left out, it is included as Ishwara. Devam includes that. So we can also take the first interpretation, Anandamaya is Sushupti. Either way, these five factors are necessary. Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya koshas and Devam factor or Anandamaya kosha, whichever it is. Shloka 15.
Shariravang mano bhiryate karma prarabhate naraha nyayam va viparitam va panchayate tasya hetavah.
So here Krishna says, all actions, good or evil, are done with the help of these five factors only. That is, in the 13th shloka, he said, sarva karmanam, all karmas. He specifies here, all karmas include good karmas and evil karmas, all of them. So nyayam va viparitam va karma naraha prarabhate. Whether a person initiates nyaya karmas, proper action or good actions, noble actions or dharmic actions, or viparitam va, viparitam va, so anyayam va, that is opposite of nyaya, so immoral actions, adharmic actions. Nyaya means according to law. So nyaya means legal. Again, sharira vang manobihi, whether it is done by the physical body, sharira, vak, by shariram or vak, whether it is by speech or manaha, whether it is in the action at the thought level. So like upasana, etc., they all come under what? Under manasam karma, mental activities. Whether it is physical activity, mental activity or oral action, whether it is proper or improper action, for all of them, yete pancha hetavaha. These five factors alone are responsible for all of them. So a doctor doing an operation with a knife, he uses his body, his mind, etc., and the person is saved from the door of death. And a murderer goes there and kills the person, takes ornaments and runs away. That is also done by the same body. And it's a knife and mind, all those things. In the first four factors, we won't have doubt at all. We will have doubt regarding the fifth factor only. Is there Devam there at all or not? When the person is murdering, whether there is a Devam or not. He says, Devam is in both the places in the form of the law. Because there also a murdering is seen with the eyes. And that is also because of the law of perception. And again, if the death takes place for the victim, that is also because of the law only. When the respiration stops or whatever happens, it is perfectly according to the law only. There is no place where the laws are not. They are there. Laws are rules. Therefore, there is no place where the Lord is not. Thus, not only that actions take place according to the laws of the Lord. Remember that what is the rule? The Lord is again present as the moral law also. Lord is the moral rule. Not only the physical law is functioning there, the moral law also is functioning when he is doing adharma. That the Lord is there as the sakshi of adharma. Later, he will pay the price for the murder, the papakarma. Thus, Lord is present in the form of material law also and in the form of moral law also. But the only thing is what? Lord will not say, do it or don't do it. He won't say it. Already it is written in Vedas, Himsam na kuriyat, do not himsa, do not do himsa at all. And you should not take money of someone else. All those things are already written. So all the do's and don'ts have been already given in the Shastras. And God has given us the free will also. And hereafter God will not say anymore. Whenever you are going to do something, God will not say anything. He will be Sakshi Matrena. He will just only be a witness. Upadrashta anumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwaraha. He will support both. He will give the karma phalam accordingly. That's what he will do. Whatever one's karma is, he will give the karma phalam accordingly. And therefore, panchayate tasya hetavaha. Okay. Why they are all these? Why should all be there? Going all around. Remember, what is the aim of the Lord? He will ask you, in these five factors, is Atma included or not? You find that Atma is not included in these five factors, indicating Atma is akarta abhokta. All these five factors refers to karta, actions and all. But the Atma is akarta abhokta. So all these preparations are only to reveal that Atma is akarta and abhokta, which is the essence of the fourth, fifth, and the sixth chapters. Karmanya karmaya pashyet akarmani cha karmayaha navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. We saw all those shlokas in the earlier chapters. So this is only a summary of those chapters. They are all summarized in this shloka, and we will see more in the next webinar. And before I conclude, we won't have the Gita webinar the next week only, because I will be traveling and I will be in West Coast and all timings will be a problem. So we will not be able to do it next week, and we will continue the following week. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah. Vasti Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana.